Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat this morning. As you sit down, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles out and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, if you don't have a Bible, there should be one somewhere there on a seat back in front of you and a table of contents at the front that'll help you navigate to the book of Romans. We're going to be finishing up this chapter 5 today. We're going to look at verses 12 through 21. If you remember, over the last weeks, we've been seeing in the first four chapters and in the first part of chapter 5 that salvation, justification is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, period. For the glory of God alone. We've got new memory verses. Hopefully you've been working on those. Our new memory verses are Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 8. And if you go online to our website, there's a sermon resources tab that's in the menu that you can go and you can find some tools that'll help you memorize those verses. That is worth your time. I hope that you will spend some time doing that. You've got about 2 weeks left till we move on to our next memory verses. All right, today's section is going to seem like we're going back to the bad news again. Remember, we spent a lot of time on the bad news, and we're like, okay, Nader, we're going to get to the good news. And then we got to the good news. And now today, you're going to be like, wait, we're going back to the bad news, all right? But here's what's happening. It's not just a rehash of the bad news of the gospel, but rather today is what we're going to see. This here is to show us a stark contrast compared to the good news about believers' new identity in Jesus Christ. So it's kind of like this. If you're one of those people that says, oh, coffee is coffee, right? Coffee is coffee. It's just brown water. First of all, shame on you. All right? And maybe you're here this morning just for this. Coffee is amazing. It's a good gift from God, and we need to branch out in your coffee taste buds, all right? And if I was going to do that, if you're like, Nate, teach me about coffee, here's what I would do. I would start you with the bad coffee. And here's why I would do that, because now when you go to the good stuff, you're going to see the contrast clearly. You're going to see the difference between bad coffee and excellent coffee. And you're going to like, before I once was, but now I am. Before Folgers was my world. And I didn't know any better than Folgers. And I was just drinking it for the caffeine. But once you taste and see the goodness and the quality of a single source Guatemalan, you will never go back to what you once were, right? And that's what's kind of happening in this passage of scripture here today. It's gonna explain to us two identities that we have. We are either in Adam or we are in Christ. And it's getting us to ask this question: who is your representative? Who are you connected to? And it's going to contrast these two representatives of humanity in order to help us first decide who we're actually with, and then to recognize and celebrate our new, better representative and all the blessings that come with being represented by him. And so we're going to read this through, and I'm not going to lie to you, this is a really, really, really difficult passage of scripture. It's really complex. A lot of it's run-on sentences because Paul liked to write that way, and it's really difficult to understand. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to read through this whole thing, and as we go through these verses, 12 through 21, I want you to remember there's a contrast happening between Adam and Christ. We're either in Adam or we're in Christ. We're either united with Adam or we're united with and connected to Jesus Christ, and there is death in Adam, but there is life in Jesus. And when we're done going through this section and reading through it, I'm going to try to summarize what the Lord, through the Apostle Paul here, is trying to teach us in this passage, all right? You ready? Here we go. Bible's open. Romans chapter 5. Lord, open our eyes that we might see wonderful things of you from your word this morning. Lord, we know that we need your Spirit's help in order to see and understand and comprehend and apply your word. And so would you do that in hearts and lives this morning, Lord? Would you help us to walk out of here today understanding this truth better and more in love with you because we recognize your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, here we go. Romans 5, verse 12. It says, therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? It's connecting what came before this to what's now. Remember, we're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And last week, we saw the blessings of our justification. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, through Adam, and death came through sin. And so death spread to all men, to everyone, to all mankind, because all sinned. How did all sin? In Adam. Verse 13, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin's not counted where there's no law. And yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. So he's saying here, wait, the law didn't come till Moses, but from Adam to Moses, death reigned. How is that possible? How did people sin and die before the law was even given, before anybody even disobeyed the law? Well, it was because of our sin nature. That's why. Our sin in Adam, and it says, who was a type. You remember back in Hebrews, what's a biblical type? A type is an illustration that God has given us, an example and a foreshadow of a better one who is to come. And so there's something about Adam that we're meant to connect to Jesus Christ that Jesus Christ so far out surpasses that it's unbelievable, okay? That's what a biblical type is, okay? We're going to see this. He's going to start comparing now Adam's trespasses and Christ's gift, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man, Adam's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man, Adam's sin. For the judgment following that one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive, notice that word, it's received as a gift, we don't earn it, who receive the abundance of grace that the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for everyone, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men, for all of those who do what? Who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 19, for as by the one man Adam's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. You remember the point of the law? The law was to magnify and to multiply. It was to magnify our sin, to expose it, to show us the depth of our depravity and our need for a savior. It says the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right, here we go. You ready? I want to try to summarize what these verses are teaching us here. The first thing they're teaching us is that we are in Adam. We are in Adam as humanity. By the way, Adam is a historical figure. He is a real person, not just some symbolic biblical reference. Right? He was the first human, and we're told about him in the book of Genesis. And God formed him from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils, scripture says, the breath of life. And then he placed him in the Garden of Eden, sinless. And he gave him responsibility. He gave him the responsibility of tending that garden and subduing it as a steward and thereby glorifying God through his life. And then God made Eve out of Adam And she was meant to be a companion and a co-worker and a co-imager and a co-glorifier of God, all right? But Adam is what we call our representative head. You're like, what's a representative head, Nate? And this is really difficult for us to understand because we here in the United States of America have for some time lived in a very individualistic culture. And so this is difficult. So I'm like thinking about this week and I'm like, I need some examples of a representative head, someone who would represent a whole in some way. So I did some research and I found a few things, all right? First thing I found was a children's game. Who in here remembers the kids' game Red Rover? Raise your hands. It's been since banned, so it's like the last two generations probably don't know this because it's quite a violent game, actually, when you think about it. If you don't know what Red Rover is, I was thinking about it this week, and it's awesome. So you'd have typically like two grades. You'd have like, here's the fifth grade class, here's the sixth grade class, and you'd line up on either side of the playground, and you would join hands together. And then you'd say this, you'd say, Red Rover, send. And then here's what you did. You picked out and identified for everyone who you believed to be the weakest, incapable person in that group of people that was standing across the line. You're like, Red Rover, send Logan right over. And that is what that did, was that told everyone, Logan is weak. And we think that we can withstand his assault. All right, and then Logan would run as fast as he possibly could towards our Red Rover line, and he would hit our arms, and we would have a concussion, and we would dislocate our shoulder, but we would hold that line together, because that's how we were made. Right? And then if our line held, what did we get to do? We got to absorb him into our group. But if he broke through the line, he got to pick and identify for everyone who he thought was the strongest from our group and take it back to his team, right? But we understood that person that ran over, they were a representative head for the whole group. They represented all of us in that moment, okay? If you follow soccer at all, if you're not from the United States, football, okay? Because why we American football is called football, I will never understand. You mostly use your hands, so it's football in the rest of the world because they're sensical. Okay, but if you follow soccer at all, a penalty kick is something like this. In that moment, you know, someone is placed as a representative of the whole team, them and the keeper, who is representative of the other team. Okay, the Olympics are like this, okay? So you notice when we say, hey, did you see we won gold in the 100-meter freestyle? You didn't win nothing. You sat on your couch and ate Doritos and watched it. That's what you did. They trained for their whole life, traveled across the world, and actually expended the effort. But in that moment, they represent our country, okay? That's what a representative head is like. And that's what Adam was for humanity. Adam was the best of us. And you're like, but wait, Nate, didn't Satan already sin and Eve sinned? Yes, but they weren't chosen by God to be our representative. You're like, well, Nate, I don't want Adam to represent me. I'm like, sorry. But surely, Nate, I could have done better than Adam. Really? Really? And you know what that statement is? It's the epitome of what we saw at the beginning of Romans that says we worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. And you're like, if you're really honest with yourself, you're like, but Nate, okay, I just don't like God choosing for me. And scripture tells us that this was God's chosen plan. And he chose Adam to be our first representative. And you know what? God knows best, not you and not me. He's wiser than we are. And here's what God did. God put a tree in the midst of the Garden of Eden. And by doing so, here's what he was saying to Adam and Eve. He was saying, I know what's best for you. And what's best for you is to recognize that I'm God and you are not. And here's what you can do. You can eat of every tree that exists in the garden. Think about that. Every other tree in the world, but not this one. Not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what mankind needed in that moment is what God gave us. We were created to flourish by glorifying God through dependence and obedience. And we know the story, don't we? What did Adam do? He disobeyed. He took the fruit from Eve and he ate. And when Adam sinned and disobeyed and rebelled against God, what he really did was start a coup against God. And he sought to place humanity on the throne in God's place. And when he did that, he plunged humanity into spiritual and physical death as the consequences for his rebellion. And sin entered, this passage says, through Adam, and death came through sin, and then death spread to everyone. Pain and pride, suffering and sickness, oppression and hopelessness, loneliness and war and judgment are all a result of death reigning because of sin. And Adam and humanity were actually meant to rule with God in his good creation. But because he sinned, we became enemies of God and were separated from God. And because Adam is our God-appointed representative, his sin is counted as our sin. And so we sin because we are connected to him. And everyone starts in Adam. You're like, but the little bitty babies that were up here, Nate, just wait till they're three. They're great then too. Sorry, three-year-old parents. Everyone starts in Adam. And we will stay in Adam. We will stay in spiritual and physical death apart from saving grace. You see, we don't just need a savior because we choose to sin, because we choose to rebel against God. We need a savior because we are sinners by our very nature. We are sinners by choice because first, we're sinners by nature because we are in Adam. We're connected to him and identified with him. And so therefore, what do we need? We need a better Adam. We need a better representative, and we need a whole new nature. Enter Jesus Christ. The other thing that this passage tries to get us to understand is that now, believers, we are in Christ. We are born in Adam, but we are saved, Scripture says, into Jesus Christ. And although Adam disobeyed, what this passage tells us is that Jesus obeyed God perfectly. And he lived, he came, he took on humanity. He lived the perfect life that you and I are incapable of living, that Adam was incapable of living. And he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, and he rose from the dead in victory, in triumph over death. And Scripture says that he is now the last Adam, the better Adam. And when we are justified, when we are declared not guilty and right with God by grace through faith in him, when we repent of our sins and trust him for salvation and he saves us, Christ's righteousness, Christ's perfect record is now counted as ours. And we are united with Jesus. We are found in him. We are bound to him. And we are spiritually connected to him. This is what we call the doctrine of union with Christ. You're like, Nate, you're all about defining things. Define union with Christ. I'll try here in a second. But any time in your New Testament when it says in Christ, in Jesus Christ, united to Christ, which by the way is like over 200 times in your New Testament, this is what it's talking about, okay? Union with Christ. What's a definition? Well, I'm not going to put a definition up here for you like I have been. And here's why. It's really, really hard to define. It's one of those things that it's so all-encompassing in the Christian life, and it touches every area of our lives as believers, that it's really not easy to define. In fact, really what you hope to do is more just kind of describe it and understand all of what it entails. So it's one of those things, if we defined it, it would fill our screens and actually be unhelpful, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. First, a super smart guy, not me, okay? His name's Wayne Grudem. He wrote a big, fat, couple thousand page book called Systematic Theology. And he described union with Christ in this way. He said, union with Christ is a phrase used to summarize several different relationships between believers and Christ, through which Christians receive every benefit of salvation. And these relationships include the fact that we are in Christ, that Christ is in us, that we are like Christ, and we are with Christ. You're like, Nate, that didn't help me at all. Okay, here's mine. Union with Christ. When God saves us by grace through faith in him, scripture says we're saved into Christ. It just means this. We are eternally, spiritually connected to Jesus. That at salvation, we become eternally connected to Jesus Christ. And through that connection, he gives us a new identity, a new life, a new community, and a new future. And we're going to see the implications of this over the next couple weeks. But really, we're going to see the implications of this throughout the rest of Romans, okay? So real quick, I want to touch on these aspects of, and introduce these aspects of union with Christ for us, okay? We're eternally, spiritually connected to Jesus. And he gives us, first, he gives us a new identity, a new identity. Our location as believers is Christ. You see, believers always have two locations. We have a geographic location. Right now, it's in Avon, okay? And we have a spiritual location. We are located spiritually in Jesus Christ. When I'm driving, often my kids tell me, Dad, you're lost. And my response is no, I'm not. I'm just not there yet. And so we're right where we're supposed to be, right? I don't know where I'm at geographically, but no matter where I'm at geographically, no matter if I'm lost geographically, my spiritual location is always located in Jesus. We are always found in Christ. And our old sinful nature was in Adam, but now our new nature is located in Jesus. And that means that we are chosen and holy. We are declared righteous and we are being made righteous. We're loved. We're adopted, we're redeemed, we're children of God, we're indwelt by his Spirit, we are filled with hope, and scripture says we are saints in Christ Jesus, holy ones located in him. When we are connected to Jesus, we have a new identity. When we're connected to Jesus, we have a new life. He gives us a whole new life in Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 17. Verse 17 in chapter 5 says, for if because of one man, Adam's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Look at this comparison. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness do what? Reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We live right now in triumph, in victory over sin. When we are in Adam, we're not able to not sin. But now that we are in Christ, we are no longer in bondage to sin, and we are free to not sin and instead pursue what is better. Why? Because of his victory, because he is victorious over sin and death, and we're connected to him. And then we get to live this new life in a new relationship with him. Our connection to Jesus Christ yields a new identity, a new life. It also yields a new community, a new community. We're going to see here later in Romans that we are saved into Christ's church, his body. We will be called brothers and sisters in Christ. That completely changes the way that we view our relationship with the church, the way we view our relationship with each other. You see, you don't get Jesus without getting his people. Why? Because we are connected to him, so that means we are connected to each other. We have Christ in common. Sorry, we're a package deal. And because we have him in common, we are closer than even our blood relatives in this world. Why? Because in Jesus Christ, not only do we have an eternal relationship connected to him, we have an eternal relationship with each other. And we will never walk alone ever again. When we're connected to Jesus, we have a new identity, a new life, a new community, and fourth, we have a new future, a new future. Look down at verse 21. Actually, start at verse 20. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. Look at this. But where sin increased, allow this to be hopeful for you. Where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. I heard someone say once, you can't out-sin grace when you're in Jesus Christ. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't just have a new life now, church. One day we will reign with the Lord when sin and death will be no more. And we will enjoy eternity, perfectly united with Christ, glorifying him, enjoying him forever, ruling with him over his created work, the new heavens and the new earth, as we were always intended to do from the very beginning. He is coming again. And we have that hope. You know why? Because we are spiritually connected to Jesus Christ. And we are no longer in Adam. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. Huh. All right. How should we respond to this? God's voice in his word. All right. A few ways. As the ushers come, one way that we respond every single week here is we give as an act of worship. You're like, Nate, why do we give? Why do we give in the church? Okay. Just real quick. Three reasons why we do this. Okay. Recognition, participation, and adoration. That's why we do this. All right. The first is recognition. When we give sacrificial generosity in the church, it's saying it's all his. It's all his. It's not mine. It's from him and it's for him. Right? We also do this for participation. We participate in a whole lot of things with our money, don't we? We participate in Costco with our money. We participate in the hot dogs at Costco with our money, right? We participate in the Colts, right? We buy tickets and stuff and cable so we can watch it. We participate in all kinds of things. In the church, the Lord says in his word that it's our privilege and our responsibility and our joy as believers that we get to participate in kingdom work through the church by giving. And the last reason that we do this is because our giving is adoration. When we give, is what we're saying by giving, is we're saying, God, not money, is my God. And do you realize the blessing of giving is not more wealth? It's actually the act of giving itself that God uses to bless us. So that's why. So we give. So whether you give here this morning or online, this is our opportunity on a Sunday morning just together, just for a second as we pass that bag to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. All right, while the ushers are doing that, how else should we respond to this passage? Here's what I want us to do. I want us to think about a couple things for a minute. You're like, wait, Nate, you said response. Can thinking be a response? You bet it is. We need more of it in this world, okay? Thinking is a response that we always should have to God's voice in his word. So here's what I want to think about. Two things. First, you are here today, and you are either in Adam or you are in Christ. You realize there's no in between? There's no like, well, I've got 1 foot in Adam, Nate, and I've got 1 foot in Christ. No, that's not a thing. You are either in Adam or in Christ, and there's no third way. And if you are here and you find yourself still in Adam, I need to tell you this morning, you are lost, you are separated from God, and you are on a collision course with only his just wrath. And currently, the Lord tells you and is telling you through his word this morning that you are sold under and enslaved to sin and rebellion against him. But I'm here to tell you this, there is hope. Do you know why? There's a better Adam, and he will save you, and he will give you eternal life. And you're like, Nate, how do I connect to Jesus Christ? Here's what he says in his word. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he is God, the Son of God, who came in the flesh, King of the universe, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. When, Nate? The second that you trust him, he will save you. And I pray that you will not leave here today without surrendering your whole life to him in faith. Believer, here's what I want us to think about. Those who have trusted Christ for salvation already, the enemy is going to try to tell you lots of lies. The enemy's going to try to tell you that you aren't worth God's time. The enemy's going to try to get you to doubt your new identity and your connection to Jesus Christ. The enemy's going to tell you you're nothing. You're pathetic. You're alone. No one understands you. No one is going through this with you. You will never be useful in the kingdom of God. You will never have victory in this area of your life. You need to give up. You need to try to earn something from God all over again in order to somehow prove your worth to him. And do you know what you can say, believer who has placed their trust in Jesus Christ? You can say, bug off, Satan. Do you know why? Because you know you deserve nothing, but God has given me everything in Jesus Christ. And I am connected to him, and I am his, and he is mine. And what Jesus connects to, he never disconnects from. And his righteousness and his perfect obedience are counted as mine. And I am his child, and my worth is found in Jesus Christ, and he is returning for me and for his bride, the church. And even though I still sin in my life, I'm not what I once was. And his grace overflows and keeps overflowing into my life, and nothing can separate me from his love. I am found in, bound to, home in, and in love with my Savior, who will love me for all of eternity. Why? Because I am in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, church. Praise the Lord that we have been found in him. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you that by grace, through faith in you, we are eternally united with, spiritually connected to Jesus Christ, and therefore have a new identity, a new life, a new community, and a new hope for our future. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.